Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today I had a special guest, Tamara Grace, happy wife, mother of two teenage girls, artist, forgiveness counselor, soon to be hospice chaplain, and a new grandma. Congratulations to her. I had her speak about a story where she had to forgive her mother, and since we're in the pain series, I thought that this story was right on time. Here's the interview. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. Today, we have a very, very, very special guest who I'm honestly blessed and happy to know, Miss Tamara Lynn Grace.
Hi, Dwayne.
Hey.
Hi.
So, I hope I didn't pronounce your name wrong. Is it Tamara or Tamara?
It's Tamara.
Tamara, just wanted to make sure. My apologies. So, we connected through Instagram, and the thing was, I was a fan of yours when you first followed me. I saw your artwork and I said, oh, I'm a fan and I want to work with you. And yet here we are today.
Well, and it was reciprocated because I saw your work. It just came in and I started listening to your podcast, and I really love the message that you're promoting all about forgiveness, which is what I'm doing. So
absolutely. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I know you have a great story that you want to impart to us. But before we do that, I just want to have a really quick fun question for you.
Okay.
What fictional family would you want to be a member of?
Fictional family?
Mm-hmm. Like, what fictional family would you want to be a part of?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm trying to think of... This is going to sound really corny.
There are no corny answers.
Well, I have to say the Von Trapp family, Sound of Music.
Yes.
Because they're all singing and, you know, they're all happy most of the time. I mean, there are problems like we all have, but just to live in Switzerland, and ooh, I'm an only child.
That's a good one.
And I always wanted to have brothers and sisters, and they were a real, actually you said, I apologize, you said fictional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but they actually were a real family.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Sound of Music is obviously a movie, but it was based on the Von Trapp, so loosely based on the Von Trapp family.
Got you. Okay. What fictional family would I want to be a part of? That's a great question. Let's see. I would be part of the Banks family from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. that would be my family, because they were a loving family. They always came together with one another. They always loved one another. And it was just a great, loving family household. And that's what I would be a part of. That's just me.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and funny enough, the Fresh Prince had a reunion. So I just realized how funny that was. So there's that. So when I messaged you, you said you had a story. And please, the platform, the floor is yours. Please tell us your story.
Okay. Kind of a crazy story. And so my parents weren't married. My dad left my mom before I was born. I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. When I was 10 years old, I asked my mom to tell me about my story and my dad, because I didn't know my dad at 10. Well, I didn't know him at all. And she was telling me that she left town to have me because she didn't believe in abortion. And so she couldn't tell her parents that she was 24 years old and pregnant and unwed. So she left town, and really long story short, she ended up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she was going to give me up for adoption. And when you give your child up for adoption, you sign the paperwork, you never see the child. Well, I call it divine intervention, because the nurse, Lynn, who my middle name is named after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she brought me into my mom's room and said, would you like to see your daughter? And my mom couldn't say no. And she put me in her arms, and I guess I changed my mom's life. So she decided to keep me. And so it was our journey together, me and my single 24-year-old mom.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma took care of me for the first year of my life while my mom got her life back on track. And my mom had a lot of problems. She had a lot of depression. She was an alcoholic. And she would go out at night. The earliest I can remember her going out and leaving me by myself was at 5. She would work during the day. She had a job at night as well, and would leave me home by myself. Mm. And I didn't even know that that was abuse until I was like in my 30s.
Wow.
You shouldn't leave your 5-year-old at home by themselves.
I got you. Yes.
And now she would be reported to, you know, children's services.
Yeah.
Happen. But to me, that's just the way it was. And, you know, I got used to it. But as I was growing up, I realized my mom was going out to bars a lot and leaving me home by myself. And she was shooting pool and getting drunk, getting high. She was a very high functioning alcoholic because she kept a job. But we moved around a lot when I, like from kindergarten through 10th grade, no, sorry, kindergarten through 12th grade, I went to 10 different schools.
Whoa.
And not a military family. And it took me, I think I was in my 20s, to realize, I think my mom was like skipping out of paying the rent. I forgot to mention she gambled a lot. So, you know, there were all these issues with my mom. And I mean, when I say abuse, abandonment, leaving your child home alone at night is, you know, it's abuse. She wasn't physically hitting me, thank God for that. But she didn't really know how to be a parent. And I remember at 7 years old, never ever wanting to be like her. I remember consciously thinking, I never want to be like her. And so when my mom was home, she wasn't really present. If you know what I mean, like,
yes,
we would be home. She'd, you know, open a bottle of wine, turn on the television, grab her box of cigarettes. You know, I mean, she was there, but she wasn't really there.
Yeah.
So I spent, you know, my childhood alone. The one good thing was that I was a really good reader, and I was a really smart kid. And I got into trouble a lot without getting into trouble, if that makes sense.
Explain that one for me. Okay.
So I did a lot of things because I was a latchkey kid, right? So I was a latchkey kid, and I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done.
Okay.
But there was a line I always knew I shouldn't cross.
Okay.
And, but I had no parental supervision because my mom was working during the day. She was out at night. And like, remember I said my mom would shoot pool. I remember she would bring home these trophies, like first place, captain, but she couldn't consciously put them on the shelves, and she would put them in her closet. So
yeah.
seeing my mom's trophies in the closet, you know, reminded me of how much she was out. I felt very alone. I would gravitate toward my friends who had families, who had parents, both parents, who had sisters, brothers, gravitate toward their family. I ended up going to a lot of different churches. I would go with my friends who went to church. And I guess my mom liked it because it was kind of a babysitter. I guess it kind of kept me out of trouble. Although when we lived in Arkansas for 1 year, and kids in my church group were pretty, you know, going down to the basement, drinking alcohol. I mean, so we got into trouble. But again, like, we got into trouble doing things we shouldn't be doing, but then we never got caught. So
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. It does.
So I had a lot of resentment toward my mom. And I watched the way that the way her relationships were. And I guess I kind of modeled my relationships after the way she modeled hers.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had very low self-esteem. I was very insecure, especially because I didn't have a normal family. But like, how many people have a normal family? You know what I mean? But right. I didn't know that at the time. And so the resentment built up. And I would say, how old was I? Let's say it was 2010. Okay.
Okay.
Literally 10 years ago. So I was 44.
Okay.
And I went to my first yoga teacher training up in Northern California. And I lived in an ashram for a month to get certified as a yoga teacher.
Okay.
And part of the graduation process, we had to actually talk to our spiritual teacher. We had to talk to her, and I didn't know what I was going to say. And everybody was afraid of her. She was very stern, tough love. No one wanted to talk to her personally, but when I went to meet with her, I started talking about my mom. And I went into victim mode, and I was telling her all these things, and, you know, it was basically poor me. And she said to me in her very stern Vietnamese voice, she said, "You have to have love and compassion for your mother." And when she said that to me, I felt like she slapped me across the face and punched me in the stomach at the same time.
Ouch.
Because I thought, you don't know what my mom's done to me. You don't know all the times she's left me alone. I had to call the cops on her boyfriend one time. I mean, all of these things, all these stories were running through my head. You don't know what she's done to me. Well, what she did was she planted the seed of forgiveness. And I didn't realize it at the time. And that seed literally started the trajectory of changing my life.
I got you.
And over the next 2 years, so from 2010 to 2012, my mom was getting really sick. She had a bunch of strokes. Her health declined really rapidly.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to forgive my mom. I need to forgive her for me, not for her, but for me. Because when she dies, I don't want to be filled with all of this guilt.
Yes. Yes.
Because I'd have to live with myself.
Yes.
And I feel like I just had I don't know where it came from. I mean, I call it divine inspiration, but just all of this, all of these feelings of compassion started coming in. She was really sick at, you know, and I was doing all of these things for her and taking care of her. She lived in Arkansas. I had to bring her back to Los Angeles. And it was a lot. And again, I'm an only child, so, you know, everything fell on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I did my work with her before she passed. I said, I want to make sure you know I've forgiven you for everything. And, you know, it's okay. I love you. And, you know, she said, I love you too. And I just remember on the day that she passed, I literally like looked up to the sky and I said, thank you so much for this, because I felt when she passed, I didn't have any personal negative feelings toward her.
Very good.
And that was really, really important. And actually when that happened, I forgot to mention a big piece of the story. When I said I didn't want to be like my mom, I became a big drinker.
Whoa.
Forgot to mention that. Yeah, I was drinking a lot through my teenage years. In my adult years, when I got married the first time, drinking a lot. And so when my mom passed away, the first thing I did, like within 2 hours, I went to an AA meeting in her honor.
Wow.
I tried to get her to go to meetings with me. She wouldn't go. And, but now I can say, as of March 15th, 2008, I've been sober. So
I'm championing that. That's amazing. That is amazing. Kudos to you, honestly.
Thank you.
Honestly, that's a feat. And I know a lot of people who are sorry, I'm about to stutter my own words, who have gone years being sober. And I champion that. That's a huge feat. And I'd hug you if I could, because that's an amazing journey.
I feel your hug. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's an amazing journey. So, wow. Interrupt. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I did that during my divorce. So it was... It was not a good time.
I got you.
In the program, they say don't make any big changes in your relationships for a year. So of course, you know, I have to get sober and go through a divorce in the same year. It was not fun. And with two little girls, that was tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did it.
Yes, you did. And here you are now. Look at you.
Yeah.
You're here, smiling and everything.
And I'm happily remarried. I'm happily 12 plus years sober. I mean, my life has infinitely changed. I'm actually looking at a picture of my mom right now. Mm-hmm. My life has infinitely changed since I forgave my mom.
Yes.
Because it has affected every relationship that I've had. It's affected my relationship with women. For the longest time, I didn't have a lot of close women friends.
Wow.
The relationship I had with my mom, I couldn't trust women.
Whoa.
And it's affected my relationships with men. The relationship that I have with my husband right now, I couldn't have this relationship had I not forgiven my mom, and if I weren't sober. So it's infinitely changed my life. And now I also run and host a forgiveness circle, which has been a blessing as well. And I'm going back to school to get my master's degree. I'm going to get my master's in divinity and become a chaplain.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Just wow.
Yeah.
It's just like this is you. Here, you're just going, keep on going up and up and up and up. And like you said, your life has changed. I see it. And I could see the glow. Mm-hmm. I can see the glow and I can see the radiance. And I want to encourage you to keep going. And I'm celebrating with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. This is from me to you. If no one else celebrates, you hit me up and I'm going to celebrate with you, because I will probably be the loudest person who celebrates with you. That's just me letting you know that.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to work in the healthcare field. I'm not sure where, but I'm gearing toward hospice because I've done a lot of hospice work.
I got you.
But definitely healthcare, for sure.
Got you. And we need more of that, especially now. My wife is in healthcare now. Mm-hmm. So definitely to all those listening who are part of the healthcare workers, we thank you. We salute you. We champion you. We appreciate you out there, because we know that you are on the front lines, and you are definitely in our prayers and our thoughts and everything. So that's for all who are working in healthcare. And for those of you who think, I don't work in a hospital, doesn't matter. If you're in a clinic, you're working behind the desk, you're an assistant, it doesn't matter. If you are in healthcare, we appreciate and we salute you. That's me being honest. Now, please, I don't want to interrupt. Please continue if there was anything else.
No, I think I said a lot.
Oh, no, you said, you gave us an amazing story.
You know what's amazing? Before I forgave my mom, when I was still in victim mode,
mm-hmm.
I would have told you a bunch of stories and I would have been very detailed, because there would have been a lot of pain there. But there's no pain now. You know, I'll tell you what really, really helped me forgive my mom.
Yes, please.
And I tell this to people that I'm helping and assisting. Once I took the word mom out of the equation, when I started looking at her as a 24-year-old, unwed, pregnant girl, who couldn't tell her parents, who couldn't even tell her parents that she was pregnant, who had to leave town to have me, who didn't believe in abortion, so she was just gonna put me up for adoption and come back home to Los Angeles like nothing happened. When I started looking at her like that, and I felt overwhelming love and compassion for her.
When I tell you how you just blew my mind, because I never thought about it that way. You took mom out of it and just looked at where she was and who she was. Like, it's, oh my gosh, I've never thought of it that way. That's an amazing mindset to have. And this is on time, because I'm doing a series now on pain, and I just did daddy pain and mommy pain. Mm-hmm. I just did that, and I just did sibling pain. So now, oh my gosh, this was right on time.
Can I show you a picture of my mom?
Yes, you absolutely can. You absolutely can.
So my laptop is sitting on my altar. So you're actually sitting on my altar right now. Okay. So this is my mom.
Oh wow, look at her. look at that's, yo, y'all are beautiful. Y'all are very beautiful.
Thank you. So yeah, that helped me. That helped me forgive her. And I've had a couple of spiritual teachers in my life, and one of them actually said to me, when I told him the whole story, he said, congratulations. And I said, for what? And he said, for you changing your mom, you changing your mom's mind, right? When I was presented to my mom in hospital, I changed my mom's mind to keep me. so that I could go through this crazy, crazy roller coaster of a life, right? And I think of all the lessons I've learned. And if I hadn't have gone through all of that craziness, I wouldn't have embarked on my spiritual journey. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have done 2 yoga teacher trainings. I just wouldn't have, because if my life were so great, I wouldn't have approached or reached out to these different avenues.
Talk about that. Yes. You know? Oh my gosh. We never really think about that. Mm-mm. And that's an amazing point. If we did have a perfect life, we really wouldn't be the people that we are now. And who we are now is necessary. That's powerful. Wow. I always love, see, here's the thing. I always love having guests, because I'm always amazed from other people's stories. And I'm also grateful and thankful for the lessons that I learned from them, especially, and this one included, about the mindset shift of looking at, instead of, don't think of mom. Mm-hmm. Think of who she is, where she was in the situation. Mm-hmm. And this one, oh my gosh, just thank you. Thank you. Because who we are now is necessary.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, if you rewind this multiple times to make sure that you get this, because, oh, those are gems.
And looking at, if it's your father or your mother, right? And I call it healing the mother wound, right? Look at the relationship they had with their parents. And
yep,
that, very true. That will explain, it might not explain everything, but it's gonna explain a lot. My mother and her relationship with her parents, she never felt seen, she never felt heard, she never felt acknowledged, which led to all of her pain, right? So once I could see that, I was like, oh my God, well, of course, I get it now. I understand. And I never ever doubted my mom's love for me. I never doubted her love, but she was having a hard time taking care of me because she couldn't take care of herself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's another thing that we all need to think about. It's like, how our parents were raised will influence how they raise us.
Exactly.
You know, there may be some who break away from the mold, but I'm going to say 8-9 times out of 10, how they were raised, they'll do the same with us. And yeah, that's a lot.
Well, I feel like I broke the mold with my 2 daughters, because when I got sober, my sponsor said, this is the greatest gift you will ever give to your children.
It is. It really is. And you broke a curse. And that's another big feat I'm championing on. You broke a curse and you said, it started here, but it ends with me. Right. That was a statement you made, and that's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. I gotta come back, but you know how you get so much knowledge, so much wisdom, and you're absorbing it. It's just like, wow, I just want to sit in it. This is something you can sit in. Oh my goodness. But so I don't want to interrupt. Was there anything else before I had questions? So just before I jump into those, was there anything else you wanted to say that or was missed?
I think I'm good. I just would like to tell the listeners, you know, that if you have to forgive someone, or let's say you want to forgive somebody, just do it. Yes. Because it's not for them. It's
yes.
For it's yes. For you. And so when I cleared all of that energy with my mom, I whooshed it all away. Mm-hmm. Now I'm clean. And now all of this other energy filled with love and compassion and strength and hope can come in, right? And if I were still carrying on all of that other stuff and carrying it, other stuff isn't going to come in. The good stuff's not going to come in. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And that's something that I had to learn. It's like, it's an action you have to do. It's like a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. It's something you just do. It's not an emotional prong. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. It's just an action. It's just a step. That's all it is. And as you said, you get, it's like a weight being released off of you. Mm-hmm. And now all the love and positivity can come in.
Right.
Oh gosh, yes. So really, I had a couple of questions for you really quick. Now, you said that with your mom, she was there, but she didn't know how to parent. So how did that make you feel when you realized that? And how did that make you feel back then when you were young?
When I asked her about my story and about my dad when I was 10 years old, we had a 2-hour car ride.
Wow.
to go to a family funeral. 2 hours in the car with your mother when you're 10 is like 5 hours. And can you ask me the question again?
Sure. Like, how did that make you feel when you realized that your mom did not a parent?
When she told me that she was going to give me up for adoption, and I already knew that my dad had left my mom, I felt very unwanted.
Mm.
And I thought, well, why did you have me if you're going out to bars every night and, you know, drinking and getting high? And why did you have me? I felt very unwanted, like I had cramped her style, you know, like she could be having so much more fun without me. I felt like, why did my mom have me? I always questioned it. And it's not a good feeling to have, and especially because I was an only child, so I didn't have a brother or sister to commiserate with. It was just me. So it was tough. It was tough. I mean, and I tell my girls all, I mean, my girls know that they were planned, that they are loved, that they were wanted, you know, they know that. I didn't have that secure feeling.
Gotcha.
And it's like, how do you know what safety is if you've never had it?
Wow.
Like, how do you know? How do you know what it feels like to be secure if you've never had that feeling? You know, when I mentioned this, the self-esteem, because my mom had low self-esteem, and I thought about my childhood, I had low self-esteem. I thought, well, who am I going to have a relationship with because I have a single parent? You know, I mean, all of these things coming in as a woman, right? Maybe it's different for a man. But as a woman, all of these like weird negative feelings came in. And that was because of my mom, growing up with my single parent. And, you know, so yeah, there were a lot of times I wish she wouldn't have kept me.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like that question. How do you know what safety and security is when you've never had it? That is a powerful question. I bet a lot of us has asked.
Mm-hmm.
What does this look like if I've never seen it?
Right.
That's powerful. You said also that you gravitated towards friends with families. What did that mean for you to do that?
If my friends had what I thought was the perfect family, if they had a dad, a mom and a dad, and had at least they had to have one sibling, that to me was the perfect family. You know, they were intact. Of course, like half of my friends' parents ended up divorcing, but I didn't know that at the time.
Gotcha.
Just anybody who had what I deemed was a normal family, because it made me feel like I was a part of their family, because they would always kind of adopt me. Oh, you know, come on over for dinner. You know, they would include me in their family. And my mom wouldn't care. I did whatever I wanted to do. Oh, I'm going over to so-and-so's house. Okay. I'm going to so-and-so's house. Okay. I mean, I pretty much did whatever I wanted all throughout high school. No questions asked. So, yeah.
Okay. How did it make you feel to be included with those families?
Very loved and wanted. Yeah, like they wanted me to be there. They wanted me to be at their dinner table. They wanted me to be in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very included. That yeah. Because, you know, everybody wants to belong, right? We all
yes.
want to belong. And it's that belonging that made me feel really good.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You also said that you had resentment towards your mother. How did that grow?
Well, when I said I knew at seven years old, I didn't want to be like her. It would grow over the different boyfriends that she had. It's interesting. Like, she always dated men who were like economically inferior to her.
Wow.
And I think that was her way of controlling them. So that they, I guess, because she was so hurt by my dad, right? So she didn't want to get into that position again. So she called the shots. She made the rules. And, you know, and that's just how it was.
Okay. So how did the resentment show up in your life?
I was ashamed of her for a long time. I was ashamed. And, you know, she had a good job. She was a legal secretary, and then she became an office manager for a law firm and ended up giving me a job to learn how to be a legal secretary. And then I grew into being an office manager for a law firm. But I said I didn't want to be like my mom, right?
Right.
But the resentment, I think, comes in from being ashamed of her. And really, when she went out a lot at bars and I was sitting home by myself, that started building up a lot of the resentment and just not being there for me and not feeling, well, my mom never went to open house or back to school night, never. Not participating in anything school related, except for, you know, if there was a middle school graduation or a high school graduation or college graduation, then of course she was there, but never was involved in any of that. And just feeling like she wasn't really there for me. She wasn't the mom that I wanted her to be. And so there was a lot of resentment there. And I mean, I'm not saying she has to be the perfect mother. No one's the perfect parent.
Got you.
But she had big shoes to fill in what I imagined the perfect mom would be. Big shoes.
We do that. We do have high expectations for our parents. We really do.
So, I mean, what we put on our parents and what we expect from them, it's a lot.
Yes, we do. We put such high expectations on our parents and we forget they're human too, like us.
Exactly. And that's where I said, when I was able to look at her as a human being instead of as a mom, that completely changed my mindset. And that's when I stopped resenting her and just started looking at her as, you know, a person who was in a lot of pain.
Yeah. And
who didn't know how to be a parent.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I remember actually I had given her one time brochures and pamphlets about depression. And I said, maybe you should go see a therapist, right? I thought that would help her. And her response was, no, we don't do that in this family. We don't do that. you know.
I've heard that before.
It's like, let's just sweep it under the rug, right?
Yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah, but that's the thing about sweeping it under the rug. The dirt piles up.
And piles up and piles up.
And it can't be hidden no more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's... You didn't say nothing but the truth on that one. You also said that you couldn't trust women and men. How was that?
I wasn't able to hold long, meaningful relationships. I have one friend that I'm thinking of right now that I've had since third grade. I just spoke to her yesterday on the phone. I don't have a lot of long-standing relationships. For me, I don't know. Because I didn't trust my mom, and I'm not saying this is okay, right? I'm not saying it's right, but because I couldn't trust my mom, although I trusted my grandma implicitly.
Okay.
In fact, when I went through a divorce and I changed my name, they asked me if I wanted to go back to my maiden name or keep my married name. And I said, no. And I realized I could change my name. So my last name, Grace, is actually my grandma's first name.
Oh, wow.
So I honored her by taking her first name as my last name. So she's really the only woman that I could trust implicitly. But now, since my relationship changed with my mom, and since I was able to forgive her, literally when I say it changed my life, it has changed my life. I felt willing to try to trust women. And because if you don't take the risk, you're not going to get the reward.
Yeah.
So I would just put myself out there a little bit more. And even with men, I guess setting boundaries and feeling more confident.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain how all of this has changed my life. But it has.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Thank you for that. So many gems from this story and just a lot of insight and a lot of wisdom. I want to thank you for sharing this story with us.
Thank you.
And I'm definitely, again, I'm celebrating where you are now and where you're going to go, because I know this isn't the last stop for you. I know it's not. And you're an awesome person. I'm just be blunt. You're an awesome person. I'm going to just say that right now.
Well, so are you, Dwayne. I'm so appreciative of what you're doing and getting the message out. It's just getting it out there. It's such an important message.
Yes.
And it's so needed at this time, and especially with all the politics, and you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that I do.
And, you know, there's so much has happened this year.
Yes. Yes. Know?
The most monumental year in our lives, right?
Oh, yes, because no one saw this coming.
No. And having a daily forgiveness practice, for me, I'm able to stay in a place of grace.
Yes.
Where I don't get caught up in all of this other stuff.
Yes.
Because it doesn't work for me.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And this story is amazing. We mined so many gems. Just thank you for this. So I want to take the time for you to just tell people how to connect with you, where they can find you. The floor is yours. Please tell them.
I started, I think I'm on day 153 today. So 153 days ago, I decided to post a quote about forgiveness.
Mm.
And I call it 365 Reasons to Forgive. And I post it on my Facebook page, Tamara Lynn Grace, or maybe it's Tamara Grace. I don't know. but I know on Instagram, it's Tamara Lynn Grace. So I calligraph a quote on most days. Some days when I'm in a hurry, I'll use a marker. But I think it's really important to get the message out. And because it has changed my life, I feel so passionate about it. And I'm also hosting a women's forgiveness circle. We were meeting every single week, and now we're meeting every other week because people have lives, right? And I will be starting up a new circle at the beginning of the year as well. So everyone who's interested can reach out to me, and it's all online on Zoom. And I've witnessed in 8 circles how these women are changing and being courageous to share. And I feel like we heal when we share our stories. And I'm so proud of these women for stepping up, for showing up, just even showing up for each other, right? That's so powerful. And so, that's what I'm doing right now.
That's amazing. Thank you for that. And for those listening, I'm going to have these in my show notes as well. So just in case you didn't catch it, I'm going to put it in the show notes as well. That's amazing with the circle. That is amazing. I like that. That's a great idea. That is a great idea. If anyone wants to be a part of that, can they just contact you if possible?
Absolutely. And they can sign up and we'll create a new circle. Absolutely.
All right. All right, everyone who's listening, please connect with her. She's honestly an amazing person to connect to, very insightful. And her, oh my goodness, her artwork, y'all need to check it out because it's amazingly dope. Please do. So I do have one question. I have two things I want to ask you really quickly. So what does forgiveness mean to you?
Forgiveness means thinking about what happened, processing it. Mm. And there's usually feelings of anger about what happened, right? Getting really, really angry about it.
Yeah.
Vocally angry, but being able to move through it.
Mm-hmm.
And telling the other person how I feel, hey, we need to talk immediately. Because I don't want things to carry over to the next day if I can help it. Just say, hey, let's talk. I don't like what you did. How can we change this? And I like to, when something happens, I call it the 3 C's, right? So you can correct the problem. I'm sorry, hold on. You can clear the problem, you can correct the problem, and then you can create from a new space.
Mm.
And so I think that's it.
Okay. That's all good. And what is one thing you would like to impart to the audience?
Forgive others, not for them, but for you.
Mm.
Because it, depending on who it is, right? It can literally change your life. And I've seen it happen with myself. I've seen it happen with others. And it's not, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not forgetting what happened. You're always going to remember what happened, but it's taking that moment in time, processing it, and then taking your power back. Because I'm not going to let you have all my power. I'm going to take my power back.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're upset with someone, you're giving them your power. You're giving your power away. That's how I feel. But I'm really, as I'm, you know, 54 years old and figuring out what I'm going to do with my life and going back to get my master's, I'm really trying to harness and rein in my energy. You know,
I'm absolutely
taking back my power. I don't want my energy scattered all over the place.
Absolutely.
You know, and it makes me stronger. And also, I know my girls see it and they feel it. They do.
Yeah, I know you're setting a great example for them. I know you are.
I try. I really try.
Oh man, well, I just want to say thank you for doing this podcast, and just thank you for your story, and just thank you for everything that you're doing, and to continue to do it. I'm encouraging you to please keep doing it.
Thank you so much, Dwayne, for your podcast and for what you're doing and promoting the message and planting seeds into all of your listeners' minds and thoughts, and we don't know who we're going to affect. We don't know what story is going to connect. But hopefully I have people instant messaging me on Instagram. You know, I resonated with your quote. Thank you. And just touching people's lives like that. I don't care how many likes I get. I just want to promote the message because I feel so strongly about it.
Exactly. And that's all that matters, is the lives we touch. And that's nothing but the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a quote, and now I'm blanking who said it, you might know. No one will remember what you've said, but they will remember how you made them feel.
I do know that quote, but oh, it escapes me who said that. I'm gonna find that out and I'm gonna put that in the show notes.
It's on the top of my head. It'll come to me as soon as we're off this call.
That's funny how that works, right? But I will find out and I'll put that in the show notes.
Look it up, okay?
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be on your show.
Wow, such a powerful episode. I want to thank Tamara Grace for gracing us with her presence. One thing that I'm going to take away out of the many gems was, when someone has hurt us, don't think of what they did, but think about who they are as a person and where they were at that time to make the choice that they made. But I'm telling you right now, this episode was amazing. And oh, so many gems to be mined from. I know there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college, pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and move the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I would be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. Also, the first session is free. If you're interested and want to help, click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.